But not only does he just sleep, overcome his life's obstacles. Have any of you ever had an obstacle in your life? I think all of us can relate to that. And in that scripture that I read this morning in Matthew, verses 29 through 30, says, Peter got out of the boat. This is from today's English version, so it's a little different than what I read for the kids for the NIV. Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. When he noticed the wind, however, he was afraid and he started to sink down in the water. I don't think there's anything more frustrating than having a dream shattered in your life. We've all had dreams about different things that we wanted to do in life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I dream crazy dreams. I don't know what they're all about. But one of the dreams that I had in my life, whenever I got sober and turned my life around, that I'd always become the husband and the father and so forth that I never was. It, God gave me another chance to do that. But there's nothing more hurtful and discouraging than to have a dream shattered. We have plans for our children. In the back of our minds, we think about a certain dream house as we're growing up. Every young girl seems to know that she has the dream for the perfect husband out there somewhere. Even the younger among us begin to plan and dream about retirement. So to have our dreams shattered can be very frustrating and discouraging, to miss our goals, to have them blocked with insurmountable obstacles. Can even put the best of us to the test. And that's the story in the scripture today that we read in Matthew. The story is very helpful, but it's a perfect example of what we can do when we have a dream. It sets before us a man who had a dream, Peter, as it points out that he had this obstacle. He had a dream that he wanted to be close to Jesus. And even though Jesus was walking on the water and he was in a boat, he saw Jesus coming, and he wanted to be with Jesus. So he cried out to Jesus, and what Jesus said, come. He climbed out of the boat, and he started walking towards Jesus until he took his eyes off of Jesus and realized all the obstacles that was around him, and he started to sink. What did Jesus do? He reached down, and he picked him up. What a powerful message of salvation. So to be of courage, we have to do that. And then sometimes to have courage and have faith take over. There's three little things I want to share with you this morning about overcoming life's obstacles. And the first thing is that we all dream. Dreams are important. Peter had a dream. He had a wish. He had a vision. And he wanted to be close to Jesus. And amidst the storm, Peter wanted to be near Christ, no matter if that storm was around him or not. And to Peter's credit, he was dreaming, like we all do. And we have to admire him for imagining that as Jesus was walking on the water, it was also possible for him, a mere human being, to walk on the water and thus approach Jesus. It was an impossible dream, and we must admit that Peter had a dream, and his dream was carried out until he looked around at his circumstances. I wonder if you and I dream enough anymore. We can get so used to the everydayness, if that is a word, the everydayness, and the routines in our lives that might never draw upon the dream of something higher. We become so entrenched in our daily roundabout things, so unexpected of the heart, that we do not really look for anything unusually noble or fine or to interrupt the ordinary. But think of the extraordinary achievements in our human society, all because someone dared to dream. Thomas Edison, who dreamed of one day replacing the candles, those dangerous candles, with something different that would bring light. His invention of the electric light bulb had turned out to be one of the most useful products that was ever invented. Abraham Lincoln, sitting in a log cabin somewhere in Kentucky, dreaming, just dreaming. Then many years later, he found himself in the White House, sitting in front of a fireplace, dreaming and carrying out the American dream. In the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom, if you never read the book of Proverbs, do yourself a favor. Sit down and read. They're little, short things, and they will truly bless you. The world says that an apple a day will keep the doctor away. God's word says a proverb a day will keep the devil away. But how much do we venture out mentally? Do we dare enough to expand our horizons around us? What profound possibilities of achievement belong to those who follow a vision? In this respect, we must admire and nurture the dreams of our young people today. What a blessing it is to see that many young people in the church and learning to be better citizens in a lot of different ways. Now, it may not all be perfect, but those roots will always be planted. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way they shall go. When they get old, he won't depart from it. I lived that scripture. I had a good upbringing, but I sure went astray and went wild. But God's Holy Spirit, as Wesley calls it, prevenient grace, always wooing us back. So if we're going to dream, we need to dream God-pleasing dreams. We have to admit that often our goals are selfish and our dreaming is self-serving at times. I recognize that. And we may be interested to have our children pursue a certain job career or career, or go to this college and that college. And, as parents, we all want the best for our kids. But we need to let them dream their own dream and to be able to come into their vocation with something that they need rather than force them. Now we need to encourage them and try to keep them on the right path. But plans and dreams about a personal career can be motivated by the vision of seeing ourselves as a big shot sometime or someday. At least the job that will land us on Easy Street. We all have those desires and those dreams. But dreams can get pretty earthy and pretty crassly materialistic at times. So in the text this morning in Matthew, Peter had a God-pleasing dream. He wanted to be near to Christ. He wanted to be near the Lord Jesus. And that's a good measure for all of our dreams to line up with. Will this dream, this goal, this plan that we have bring us closer to Christ? That's only something that you can answer. But God is there, waiting. Do my objectives match the will of the Lord? That's the thing that we got to do. If it lines up with this book, you know it's God's will for your life. Several years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King preached a now famous sermon that we have come to know as I Have a Dream. And he preached it on the Capitol steps in Washington, D.C. And that title, I Have a Dream, has been sticking with people for a long time because it spoke of dignity and freedom of every human being. It pictured the justice and the tranquil things that we can have if we'll only dream and to be able to have our dreams line up with God's will for our lives. A lot of things that took place from that dream, Martin Luther King never realized. But one of the things that he did do, he showed us how to get some points across and do some things without violence. He had a dream that one day everyone would be judged by their character, not by the color of their skin or from their culture. So our dreams ought to be God-pleasing dreams in that same way. You see, the question is always this. Why do we want success? Why do we want to have dreams and have dreams that come true? Why did Peter want to walk on the water? Just to try out a little magical trick for himself? For no matter what our Lord's aim was walking on the water towards him with his disciples, he was trying to show off sonship. Was Jesus showing off and say, hey, look, guys, look here, I can walk on the water. You can too, come on. No. Jesus wasn't a trickster. He was not bent on doing something that would cause the disciples to not believe or to lead them in their own way or do something spooky. That's what I was trying to think of. I don't know about you, but some of the plays and operas that have been done that supposedly reflect Jesus, some are okay, some are not okay. The one that is not okay is Jesus Christ Superstar. Any of you ever saw that movie or the play? Well, in there, they take truth of Scripture and they kind of twist it and proclaim it in a way that kind of distorts it. And I think when people walk away from that, they have a different image of what Christianity is all about. But in that opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, there's a character playing Herod, and Herod sings this song. Jesus, I'm overjoyed to meet you face to face. You've been getting quite a name all around the place. Healing cripples, raising from the dead, and now I understand you're God. At least that's what you said. So you are the Christ. You're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. Jesus, you just won't believe the hit that you've made around here. You're able to talk about all the wonders of the year. So you are the Christ, huh? You're the great Jesus Christ. Prove it to me that you're no fool and walk across my swimming pool. There's a United Methodist youth group out of Mesquite, Texas, that travels the southeast United States every spring. And they do it with the theme of Godspell, which is a good opera about Jesus Christ. But this is what Godspell, one of the songs, says. Oh, day by day, O Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. So let us dream, but let us have goals and ambition that faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ in his will. You see, with every dream, there will be obstacles. With every God-pleasing dream, there'll be many obstacles. Peter wanted to be close to Christ. As he walked out towards Jesus, the obstacles immediately flared up, trying to discourage him from doing that. The wind and the waves reared their ugly head. But they were not true obstacles, were they? Peter, walking on the water before this, despite the winds and the rain, he was doing it. By themselves, these howling creatures were not obstacles. Only when Peter allowed them to be obstacles in his own mind did they become just that. That's what happens to us in our lives at times. Things which have no business being obstacles to our dream, we allow to creep in. Oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. And it was one of those obstacles that I faced when I answered my call to go into ministry. Those of you who heard my story know that I quit high school in the 10th grade to help with the family business as my dad contracted ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. But when God called me to go into the ministry, I had an obstacle. I couldn't go to college. I couldn't go to seminary unless I had a high school education. And that was an obstacle that I had to overcome. And by God's will, the worst subject I had when I was going to school was English. My English teacher used to give me a D just so I could play football. So it was a big obstacle. And you know what my best score was on my GED? It was English. Praise be to God. But that's what happens. We let things and obstacles keep us from getting our dreams complete. An obvious topic at this point is worry. And anybody ever worry? Am I the only one to worry work? Sometimes we begin our own attack by worrying. We allow worry to undo and have a concern to us. In the recovery programs, we have a little cliche that says, we're going to worry about things that we can't worry about, and we couldn't worry about them, because if we did worry about them, they wouldn't happen anyhow. And it's just something that we call projection. Thinking about something that's going to block our way without even knowing if it'll happen or if it won't happen. So we must allow these obstacles to become clear, that they don't become an obsession with us. Other people can quickly create mental obstacles for us too as we go about fulfilling our dreams. You know the kind of person I'm talking about. You have a great plan. You have a sound dream. You announce the facts, and immediately there's somebody pipes up and said, "Hey, we already tried that. That won't work." One of the things that paralyzes the church, and sometimes we say it even when we're trying to do something with a church program. My Christian philosophy about doing church, if it's ministry, that's God-honoring ministry, you know, count me in. It might be unorthodox in some ways, but that's what happened with the ministry of these young people. thank goodness this church didn't say, no, we tried that before, it won't work. Well, we never done it this way before, and you can see the fruits of the labor. So sift out the real obstacles from those who are purely manufactured in our own minds and by others. And let's see that if the answer of our dreams and our goals is never going to rest in the neurotic focusing on the obstacles. But rather we always have a, and that's human nature. You know, human nature is the same. Times have changed, but human nature has never changed. That's what makes the Word of God so special and works. It meets us right at our point of need. Peter is to be admired for taking action, going right towards Christ. Didn't collect $200, didn't pass go, went right towards Christ. Never once was he discouraged from his goal of being close to Jesus. So in the process of our venturing out, let us keep our eyes upon Jesus. Go forth. Keep your eyes on Christ. You know very well it's worth keeping your eyes on Christ. You and I know who Christ is. And I hope and pray that you do. And if you've never said, ah, I want that Jesus in my life, it's a friend that's willing to say, come, I want to meet you. I want to be your friend. Our goals and our dreams, if they're God-pleasing, he will reach down and he will take that heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh and love and grace. There he suffered on the cross and died for the forgiveness of our sins. And then on the third day he rose from the dead, breaking that bondage over sin and, more importantly, over death. That's how much Christ is interested in you and I as people. He loves us. He cares for us. He forgives us. Because of the cross, and we have an opportunity to start again and again and again to work the God-pleasing goal to serve the Father. So if I can just do nothing else, I want to encourage you to dream. Dream your God-pleasing dreams. Follow the vision, even no matter where it is. Measure the obstacles, but face them. Measure God's love even more as you look solidly into the face of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. With him, all things are possible. So I pray a special blessing this week on your venture of faith. We're all on this journey called faith. Because of the hope and the joy that we have in Christ, it gives us the wisdom and grace to keep on keeping on. That little chorus that I love to sing, and I walk and talk to God sometimes all by myself, and I talk audibly to him, even if I'm cutting grass or different things, because I run into those obstacles and struggles in my life too. And I simply start singing that little chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.